When 17-year-old Jay Reguero learns about his cousin Jun's death in the Philippines, his comfortable senior year in Michigan shatters. His father delivers the news with unsettling detachment. No explanation of circumstances, no funeral arrangements, no room for questions. This wall of silence immediately signals something deeply troubling beneath the surface. The silence extends beyond Jun's death, reaching into Jay's complicated relationship with his Filipino heritage. Though born in the Philippines, Jay has been deliberately raised as very American. His father's vision of success required erasing their cultural identity. The cost? Jay's profound disconnection. He stumbles over Tagalog words, knows little about Filipino customs, and feels like an outsider stranded between two worlds. What haunts Jay most is the silence he himself created. His gradual withdrawal from Jun began innocently. Missed replies due to distractions of first love, delayed responses that stretched into permanent silence. This abandonment takes on crushing weight as Jay discovers how deeply Jun felt this rejection. Had Jun interpreted Jay's silence as confirmation that he too had chosen to forget their shared heritage? This realization transforms Jay's guilt into a powerful catalyst, driving him to pierce through the layers of silence surrounding Jun's death, a journey that will take him across oceans and force him to confront uncomfortable realities about family, identity, and justice. President Duterte's drug war in the Philippines forms the backdrop of Jun's death, adding political context and moral urgency to Jay's journey. Characters represent divided reactions to these policies. Tito Manning, Jay's police officer uncle, shows unwavering support, proudly displaying a medal from Duterte and dismissing criticism as colonial interference. He justifies the violence as necessary for societal improvement. Jun stood in opposition through his website Gising Na PH, which documented the drug war's victims. His letters and associates reveal his belief that addiction needs treatment, not execution. Pushers need employment, not death, and corrupt officials need replacement. The novel humanizes statistics with stories like a 17-year-old boy killed by police who pleaded, "Please no, I have a test tomorrow." Most disturbing is how political ideology corrupts family bonds. Jay's discovery that Tito Manning had Jun under surveillance and may have been involved in his death reveals how ideology can override even the fundamental connection between father and son. Throughout his journey, Jay confronts what it means to be Filipino-American, one of the hyphenated. He struggles with feeling like an imposter in both cultures. In America, his friend Seth casually remarks that he's basically white, yet Jay still feels different, noting how friends fail to understand his complex identity. Small moments highlight this disconnect, from explaining why he takes his shoes off at home to defending his mother's weird traditional Filipino lunches. In the Philippines, Jay physically blends in, yet remains culturally disconnected. He hesitates when asked if he's a Balikbayan, returning Filipino, at immigration. Tito Manning repeatedly highlights Jay's ignorance of Filipino history, and even simple interactions like ordering food become reminders of his outsider status. Language intensifies this identity crisis. Jay's limited Tagalog creates barriers with relatives, while his cousins switch effortlessly between English and Tagalog, leaving him excluded from family jokes and stories. Jay's breakthrough comes with Mia. When she begins to say, "Even though you're not Filipino," Jay interrupts, "I am, but I'm also American." He no longer sees his dual heritage as contradictory identities, but as complementary parts of a whole person. Being hyphenated isn't a deficit, but a unique perspective bridging both worlds. Jay begins his investigation believing in a simple truth. Jun was innocent, wrongfully killed by corrupt police. But as he digs deeper, he discovers truth is rarely straightforward. Each person holds a different piece of Jun's story, creating a complex mosaic rather than a clear picture. Tito Manning reveals Jun was using drugs. Tita Chato shares he secretly dropped out of school. Reyna tells how Jun rescued her from trafficking. Grace discloses Jun ran Gising Napi, documenting drug war victims. Most devastating, Tito Danilo confirms Jun had been both using and selling drugs. This multifaceted portrait forces Jay to confront a more complex reality. Jun was neither the perfect martyr Jay imagined, nor simply a drug addict. He was compassionate and documented injustice, but also made serious mistakes. Jay's reaction shows his growing maturity. Initially, he tries to justify contradictory information. Eventually, he accepts that Jun was more than my idealized version of him in ways I don't like. This acceptance represents a more sophisticated understanding that acknowledges complexity while allowing Jay to honor Jun's memory more authentically. Storytelling manifests in multiple forms throughout the novel, each serving distinct yet interconnected purposes. Jun's handwritten letters function as intimate bridges across geographical distances, revealing his character development and inner thoughts with unmatched authenticity. Their disappearance from Jay's backpack symbolizes both personal loss and an attempt to silence Jun's narrative. The Gising Napi website embodies storytelling as resistance, documenting drug war victims to challenge official government accounts. Its name, Wake Up Philippines, serves as both call to action and indictment of societal complacency. Each victim's entry includes personal details, dreams, families, daily routines, humanizing what might otherwise become mere statistics. The family's memorial for Jun creates perhaps the most powerful narrative. As each member lights a candle and shares memories, they collectively portray Jun as neither hero nor villain, but as fully human, passionate, flawed, loving, and brave. This shared storytelling creates space for collective grief and healing through acknowledging both comforting memories and the complexity of loss. When Jay agrees to co-write an article with Mia and Grace, he commits to amplifying Jun's story and its broader implications. Through storytelling, what might have been forgotten lives on, challenging official narratives and preserving human dignity amid systemic violence. Jay's journey evolves from seeking truth about Jun to discovering his own purpose in an unjust world. Initially directionless despite college acceptance, Jay lacks the clear vision his friend Seth possesses, having merely followed others' expectations. Jun's death triggers Jay's moral awakening. What begins as guilt over abandoned correspondence transforms into a broader understanding of responsibility. He recognizes how his privileged life in Michigan exists alongside systemic violence abroad, seeing connections between personal choices and global injustice. This awakening manifests in Jay's decision to co-write an article about Jun and defer college for a gap year in the Philippines. By choosing to explore his heritage and continue Jun's work documenting injustice, he creates tension with parents concerned about his safety and academic future. Yet Jay remains committed. Understanding his privilege carries both opportunity and obligation. The novel's final image, Jay and his father talking through the night, blessed by the morning, suggests healing comes through connection despite unresolved pain. By breaking generational cycles of silence, Jay creates space for more authentic relationships. "We are not doomed to suffer things as they are, silent and alone," rejects both passive acceptance and isolated suffering. Through Jun's influence, Jay discovers purpose emerges from small acts of witness and resistance, from choosing to see what others ignore.